Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Well, hey, as we continue our teaching series, I want to ask a question. We'll start with a question this morning, and that is, how many of you would say that you have a pretty decent life? Well, just take a moment and think about it for a second. And maybe you don't even need to take a moment. You can answer that question real quickly. How many of you would say that you have a pretty decent life? It may not be exactly what you want it to be, or it may not be exactly at the place that you wanted it to be, but you can still say that you have a pretty decent life. If that's the case, how is it that we have a pretty decent lives, but our minds still go to this place of complaining about what we don't have or what we don't like? You know, our lives are still decent, pretty decent. But even in that, our lives still being pretty decent, we still find ourselves going to this negative space in our minds, going to this place of negative thinking and complaining about stuff that we don't have or stuff that we don't like. You know, the reason this is because our minds is a battlefield. And most of, like I've been saying since the beginning of the series, most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. And our lives is also a reflection of the thoughts that we think. What goes on in the mind, it tends to come out in our lives. And if we have a negative mind, it's almost impossible to have a positive life. If you want a positive life, you have to have a positive mind. You have to have positive thinking. If you have a negative life, it's probably the result of having a negative mind or negative thinking. Change your thinking and you can change your life. Our text scriptures from the very beginning has come from the book of Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. And it says that we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We understood by looking at this scripture that shortly right after that, Paul is talking about, we know that he's talking about the battle that goes on in our minds. We know that he's talking about the struggle of this negative thinking that goes on in our minds. And he talks about these strongholds. We understand that these strongholds are these walls that Satan has built up in our minds that become strongholds. And what happens is these walls get built in our minds one lie at a time over a long period of time. And then we actually begin to believe false information. We actually begin to believe these lies that the devil has spoken to us about our own personal lives, and also about the lives of people around us and about our situation. And because we believe those negative thinking or we believe those lies, it causes us to have negative thinking, and those negative thinkings begin to impact the decisions that we make in our lives. The King James version of that very same scripture, again, at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of what? Pulling down of strongholds. These strongholds of negative thinking in our minds that has been built by one lie at a time by Satan. Then the way that we tear down or pull down these strongholds is not by using worldly weapons, but by using God's mighty weapons. We need spiritual weapons in order to bring these down. And so we have to trust in God. We have to believe in God. We have to seek God, and also using the tools that he's given us to help us to do it. So that's why we are looking to God's word to help us to tear down these strongholds, to pull down these strongholds. The subtitle of today's message is titled Fighting Negative Thoughts. These negative thoughts that are in our minds, we have to fight them. Remember, our mind is a battlefield. And most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. So we have to fight these negative thoughts. Our text scripture for today comes from the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's good, perfect, and acceptable will for your life. This very same scripture, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says in the King James Version, it says, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you know God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. So with that being said, let's say a prayer, and then we're going to get right into the actual message for today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for today, another day that we can come to you in love, seeking your guidance, seeking your instructions. We ask that you give us enlightenment, open up the eyes of our understanding, Father, so that we can be able to see what we need to see through your eyes and not the eyes of the world. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Yeah. So we're now in part four of this series, which is titled Mind Games. And we've been talking about the battle between negative thinking and positive thinking that goes on in our minds. And last week we talked about how the brain has this memory space or this memory storage that's very similar to a cache in a computer. The cache storage area in the computer, what it does is every website that you visit, every browser that you use, every app that you use on your computer, on your tablets, on your cell phones or whatever, your electronic devices, they all have a place, a storage place called a cache. And what happens is as you visit those places and then as it begins to remember your patterns of behavior, or it begins to remember the different places that you go. And so the next time you go to that website or that browser or use that app, what happens is your computer or your device pulls it up much faster. Every time you go, it pulls it up even faster because it remembers that, hey, this is where you want to go. We've been here before. We know what to do in order to get up there really fast. Our brains has a place very similar to that of a cache storage space. And what it does is it remembers our behavior patterns. It remembers the things that we do, the experiences that we have in our lives and different things. And what happens is the next time we find ourselves in that very same place again, our brains bring that up really fast. And we began to make decisions. We began to make choices in our lives that are, and those choices, we'd be able to make them faster and faster and faster each time we experience that. And to the point where we'll actually begin to respond and react without giving much thought about what's going on. So a situation happens, our brain will process it and help us to use reasoning to make a good decision or go a particular direction to say something or to do something. Next time we're in that very same situation, our brain will use the reasoning to just like it did before, but it does it a little bit faster. And eventually, over time, our brain begins to remember our patterns of behavior. Our brain begins to remember this repetitiveness that's taking place. And we'll find ourselves making decisions just like that without even giving much thought about what was actually going on. You know, I said this last week, sometimes you know, kids will do something and you'll look at them like, what in the, you know, you ask them a question, what in the world were you thinking when you did that? And the reality is they didn't think, they just reacted. And they reacted because of the brain has learned this repetitive behavior, and it pulls it from the cache storage that's in their minds. Now, this is a very good thing in electronic devices. This is also a very good thing in our brains. It's good when it's put in the right place, but it's bad when it's put in the wrong place. What's happened is, we have so much storage, so much negativity that's stored in this cache space in our minds. And that negativity is overloading our ability to be able to make decisions in a rightful manner. So therefore, that's why the Apostle Paul says we need to transform our thinking. We need to renew our minds so that we will be able to see what's true and what's right. Going back to the scripture again, he says, for we walk not in the flesh, for we walk in, I'm sorry, I'm messing up the scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not fought with or not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then in Romans chapter 12 and 2, do not conform conform to the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And when God is able to change, when we allow for him to change the way that we think, then we will know his good, perfect, and acceptable will for our lives. Today, I want to focus on last week as I focused on that cash storage space in our brains. Today, I want to focus on another area in our brains that affects our ability to be able to make decisions in the right manner, which affects this, or which participates in this battle between negative thinking and positive thinking. And that particular thing in our brain that I want to focus on today is called cognitive biases. Cognitive biases. Cognitive biases is this. It's a mistake, okay? It's a mistake. So let's just start right there from the very beginning. Cognitive biases is a mistake. It's a mistaken reasoning based on personal experiences or preferences. What happens is there's something going on. There's some things that have happened in our lives, some experiences that we had in our lives, some preferences that has developed in our lives, and it affects our thinking. Our personal experiences have a way of framing our thinking based on our experiences, okay, or based on those experiences. So here's an example. And you know, the same thing is with preference. So preference or experience, same thing, okay? Here's an example. Many women have been mistreated and abused in their lives by men, specifically by men. I mean, we've all experienced mistreatment. We've all experienced abuse from many different people, you know, white, black, male, female, young, old, you name it. We've all experienced some mistreatment and some abuse. But women, just using this as an example, women have experienced a lot of abuse and a lot of mistreatment from men. And because of these mistreatments and these abuses from men, then they have developed this cognitive bias that all men or most men are dogs. And therefore, because they have developed that cognitive bias, they began to treat all men the same way. The reality is that all men are not dogs. There are a lot of good men out there. You know, there was a time where I used to say, man, there's a bunch of good men out there. There's some good men out there. No, there are a lot of good men out there. But what happens is, this is vice versa too, when it comes to men, when it comes to women, there are a lot of women who have mistreated men. And because a lot of women have mistreated men, men also develop this cognitive bias that all women are gold diggers. All women are opportunists. You know, they just into a relationship just to get what they want to get out of it and what have you. They're not in it for the true love or what have you. So we develop, because of these relationships, because of these experiences that we have in these relationships, we develop these cognitive biases, and we began to treat every person the same based on those cognitive biases. And those cognitive biases, again, are a mistake in reasoning. They are a mistake in reasoning. Here's another example. Many people, I'm a personal example of this because of what I experienced as a young teenager growing up into my adulthood. And that is, I've had a lot of bad experiences with the police. You know, some of them rightfully so, but not all of them. A lot of them, I did not deserve the treatment that I got. And because of most of my experiences with police growing up were negative, that I developed this cognitive bias of thinking in my mind that all cops are bad cops. There ain't no good cops. The reality is that there are a lot of good cops out there. And I would even go out on a limb to say that I believe that there are more good cops than there are bad cops. The bad cops just tend to outshine the good cops. But that's what happens in our world. It seems like the bad outshines the good and everybody sees the bad. And maybe that's one of the major reasons why we have this negative battle that's going on in our mind, because the negativity seems to get the spotlight more than the positivity does. But we have developed these cognitive biases when it comes to police officers. And we begin to believe that all of them or most of them are actually bad and there's very few good ones. I believe the opposite. I believe that there are more good ones than there are bad ones. This is called cognitive biases. It's a mistake in reasoning based on experiences or preferences that we've developed in our lives. Your experiences or your preferences are also called filters. I want you to think of them as filters. You know, when we look at something, we can look at something through filters. You know, when we have a camera or we take a picture, a lot of us, we on our cell phones today, we can take a picture using our cell phone, and our cell phone has different filters. So you can take a picture of something, and then the natural lighting and everything, the natural shot of that picture, that's the way you get it. But based on how you want that picture to feel, or based on how you want that picture to look, you have the ability to change the filter. And the different filters, you know, there's a filter where you can just make it real vibrant and the colors just really pop and everything is like, wow, you know, or there's another filter where you can tone the vibrance really low to where it's not much color in it. And it kind of makes you feel like, you know, there's the black and white filters, you know, and that makes things feel a little bit older, a little bit more ancient or something, or, you know, there's so many different types of filters in our cameras. So when we take a picture with our cameras or our phones or whatever, we can change the filter to give us the feel that we want. So when we think about cognitive biases, I want you to think also about filters. So what happens is these cognitive biases, they're like filters. And so what happens is we have these certain experiences or we have these preferences. And then what happens is we see those things or we see different situations through those filters. Different filters, they affect how we feel. If you change the filter, you can change the way that you feel. All right? Cognitive biases are the default filter. So like there's times like on my cell phone, I'll take a picture and I'll use a filter. You know, instead of using a natural, you know, as is shot, I may change the filter, you know, get a filter. Oh, I like this filter right here. And I'll just leave it there and I'll take that picture. And I don't know if you guys experience this, but there are times where I'll come back and I'll take another picture. And it's like, that's not the way they're supposed to be looking. You know, so I'm trying until I take another picture. And I'm like, that's not right. The lighting or something not right on the camera. And then I'll figure it out. And I'll be, oh, it's still on the last filter that I used. That's why it's looking like this. That's why it's not looking natural. And I'm trying to figure out the whole time. And it's like, I don't understand why this picture is not taken the way it's supposed to take. Why it's not just regular, you know? It's because it's still set on the filter that I used last time. These cognitive biases become the default filters in our thinking. And that's how we begin to see things and process things. And so what happens is that filter that has been developed, it becomes the default in our mind. What is that? We had a beeping going on here. I apologize for that, guys. So we need to reframe our thinking. I'm going to say that one more time. We need to reframe our thinking. So those times where I had my camera on my phone set at a certain filter from the filter that I used last time, I have to go back to the original in order to get what I'm actually looking for. I got to make sure that the filters is not the default and that the original is the default. And so I do that by reframing my filter or reframing my thinking. Reframing, it is this. It's creating a different way of looking at a situation by changing its meaning or changing its look or changing its feel. I'm going to give you an example. Okay. We got a visual example for you guys today. All right. I have this picture right here. This picture, as you can see, has been framed. I got a black, nice, little, pretty, velvety frame today on this picture. So I don't know what you guys are doing right now, but if you're not looking, look so you can see my visual. All right. So here's this picture right here. Now, by framing this picture, we have a original or a total image of what's in this frame. But what if I change the framing of this picture? Okay, if I change the framing of this picture, and I want you to just take notice of this, okay? Let's just say this is the picture. If I reframe this picture to this right here, some of you will probably say, man, this is a gloomy day. Come on, my ears. No, she's coming to stop. So here we go. So if I reframe this picture to this right here, some of you will say, man, today is going to be a gloomy day. Man, it's going to be a big old storm today. Man, this and that. You know, you might think, you know what? My life right now, man, today is going to be a messy day. Today is going to be a bad day. Man, I got to get some umbrellas and I got to get some raincoats. I got to make my hair going to get all messed up as soon as I go outside. My hair going to go back to its natural state. It's going to get all frizzy. So why in the world spend all this time to do all this work on my hair when as soon as I step out, the weather is going to just mess it all right back up. You know, how we look at a picture, it frames our thinking about it. And when our thinking gets framed, then that affects the decision, the choices that I make. Again, like I said, if you're looking at this picture right here, you might think, I need to grab an umbrella. I need to grab, you know, some boots. My hair is going to be messed up. Or today is going to be a messy day. Man, a gloomy day means a gloomy behavior. Man, it's going to be a soggy day today. But, everybody say but. But if you reframe the picture, it could be something different. If you reframe the picture and you saw this right here, you'd be like, oh man, it is beautiful out today. Oh man, let me pick me some nice warm and summery-like clothes to wear today. Man, today is going to be great. Let me make sure I got my sunglasses on. It's going to be a beautiful day today. I'm going to get me a lot of vitamin D. Man, can't nobody, I'm going to hear the birds chirping outside. Today is going to be a beautiful day. You know, you might think about your life and the way you have framed certain things in your life affects the way you think about things or affects the filters that you are using in your life. Maybe you might wake up in the morning and you say, today is going to be a beautiful day. There's nothing that's going to affect me in a negative way. I'm going to be positive about everything. But if you're framed like this, you may be thinking it's going to be a negative day today. You know, however you frame it, this is one thing that we need to realize. It's all relevant. It's all real. If it's this way, if it's just the clouds and dark gray clouds and stuff, it's real. If it's just the sun and a few clouds and stuff, it's real. If it's the whole picture, it's real. All of it is real. All of it is relevant. It's just a matter of how you frame it, which means that you could be in a very negative situation or you can be in a gloomy situation, but how you frame your thinking will affect the decisions that you make. It affects your mood. It affects your feeling. It may be a bright and sunny day, but it affects your feeling and affects your mood. It affects your decision. However you frame your thinking will determine the decisions that you make in life. If you think it's going to be a gloomy day, then it's probably going to be a gloomy day. If you think it's going to be a nice day, it's probably going to be a nice day. You can't control your situations, but you can control how you frame them. So let's think about life right now. There's this thing, you know, when you think about your life, you know, there are things that you probably dreamed of in your life. There's places that you probably, you know, have set out to go or to be. There's a place right now, when you think about your life right now, you know, you look at it, you'd be like, man, I dreamed that at this point in my life, I would be at this particular place in my life. Or I set goals and I've done things and I've sought employment or education and financial situations to get me to a certain place. And I hope that I would be at this place at this time of my life, but you find yourself, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you haven't gotten to that place yet. And those things, those experiences that have developed in your life, those experiences that you've experienced, those preferences that you have developed over time has caused you to frame your thinking in a certain way. You may have framed your thinking to think that, man, your life is at a very negative place. Or maybe you framed your thinking that even though you haven't reached those dreams yet, or even though you haven't reached that place in your life yet, that it ain't over yet. And you still got time to do what you need to do in order to get to that place. The Apostle Paul, he is a very good example. I told you from the very beginning, we're using his life experiences to help us to gain understanding about this battle that goes on in our mind with negative thinking. This battle between the negative and the positive, you know, the yin and the yang, the right and the wrong, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Apostle Paul had an experience of many, but one of the experiences we're going to look at today, and it comes out of the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, actually 12, 13, and 14. And he says this. He says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because I speak of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. The Apostle Paul, he set out to go to Rome to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He got himself together. He packed his bags. He got the resources that he needed to go on this trip. He goes on this trip. He's got a good plan. He said he's going to go there. He's going to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. People are going to get saved. Lives are going to be transformed. And Jesus is going to be glorified. He gets to Rome and he finds himself being taken into custody and thrown into a prison. The man is chained up in, locked up in a cell. And this is not a good situation for him. He set out to do something. He set out to do one thing, and that is to do the work of the ministry, to bring glory to God and to change people's lives. Instead, he finds himself locked up in prison. Paul went there to preach, but yet he found himself in prison. We need to learn from his example on how to frame our thinking. You know, he could have gotten mad at God for sending him there, you know, but instead he gave God glory. Instead, in spite of his own personal situation, he was able to see that even being in prison, that the purpose of him going there was still being fulfilled. It was still being accomplished. I'm going to read these scriptures over one more time. It says, Paul says this, he writes a letter and he sends the letter out to the people. And he says, and I want you to know this, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, not something, but everything that has happened to me has happened to spread the good news. All of this has happened. I'm locked up in jail. I'm in chains, and all of this is to bring or to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us can say that if we were locked up in prison, going to do the work that God has called us to do, that we would find ourselves locked up in prison, and we say, hey, God, don't worry about it. Everything's cool. Don't worry about it. This is the whole reason why I came here. I came here, and the reason I'm locked up is to spread the good news. Hey, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. No, God, something's wrong. What you doing? This ain't the way this is supposed to happen. This is not the way this is supposed. I'm supposed to be out there right now in them streets preaching and spreading the gospel, and people are supposed to be getting saved by the thousands. But here I am, locked up in jail. But instead, Paul said, all of this, everything has helped to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, for everyone here including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because I speak Christ. Whether they have accepted or whether they have accepted Christ or not, whether they are rejecting Christ, they know. Everybody know whether they've accepted or not, Jesus Christ or not. They know that the whole reason, the only reason that I am locked up in chains right now is because I speak of Christ. Somebody come up to a guard and say, hey, why is that man in jail? Because he's speaking about Christ. You know, two neighbors sitting at the coffee shop down the street. They say, hey, man, why is Paul in jail? Because he's speaking about Christ. You know, the mayor is and city council are having a meeting. Hey, this guy, Paul, he's locked up in jail. Why is he in jail? Because he's speaking about Christ. Everybody knows that he's locked up because he speaks of Christ. And he says, Paul goes on, he says, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers have gained confidence and they boldly speak God's message without fear. I want you to think about this. Think about Dr. Martin Luther King. Think about Megan Evers. Think about Nelson Mandela. Think about Malcolm X. I could go on and on and on and on. Think about people that were fighting the good fight of humanity. And think about the times that they got locked up, in prison, in chains. And think about how often the people on the outside gained confidence and they got even more bolder than they were before because that person was locked up. Think about it. When Paul understood that, man, these people are so upset, they know that this is an injustice, and here I am locked up, and because of their outrage, of me being locked up for simply speaking Christ, it has caused them to gain even a stronger confidence and caused them to even speak bolder out in the streets. He said, look, man, don't worry about me. The good news is still being spread, and it's spread even harder right now. Paul is realizing that I could not have done this by myself. If I was not locked up, the boldness and the confidence that the people have probably would not be on this level. They probably have a little boldness and confidence. They make it get a little feel good because I preached to them, you know what I mean? Had a little crusade, laid some hands on some people. They done got saved. They done felt the Spirit of God touch them. And then they go back home with a little feel good. But because I'm locked up in prison, this is more than just a feel good. These people are bold and they're confident about the gospel. And the gospel is spreading even the more. It's spreading by the voices and the actions of other people and not necessarily Paul himself, because he's sitting in prison. Paul understood his situation. He could not control it. But what he could control was how he framed his thinking. He framed his thinking to think about the positive of his situation and not be consumed by the negative. The negative was real. The negative was relevant. It's just like the picture that I showed you. The gloominess is real. The gloominess is relevant. But there's a bigger picture. And Paul was able to see the bigger picture. And he framed his thinking, not just to see just the clouds. He framed his thinking also to see the light. And what we need to do with this battle that's going on in our minds, this battling of this negative thinking in our minds, we need to reframe our thinking to also see the positive. Not to ignore the negative. The negative is there, it's real, it's relevant, but frame our thinking based on the positive. Let the positive drive our decisions. Let the positive drive our patterns of behavior. Let the positive drive our motivation. If we want to change our lives, we need to change our thinking. Wherever you are in your situation, or whatever situation you're in, frame your thinking so that the positive comes forth and you're not consumed by the negative. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Our mind is a battlefield, and most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. If you want to change the direction of your life, change your thinking.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.